Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Weissoon. If you enjoy real-world hunting and fishing talk, you're really going to enjoy listening to my good friend, Luke Clayton, and his guest for the next hour.
This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers. Luke is on the pro staff of Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. Smoking techs, electric smokers, feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guests for this week's show.
Well, thank you, gentlemen, for that nice introduction. And Mr. Whitetail, my buddy Larry Weissoon, is right here with us. Good morning to you, Larry.
Well, top of the morning to you, Mr. Luke. It is, I am en route to the airport, the Heathrow Airport here in close to London, and getting ready to come home, getting ready to get back to Texas. Can hardly wait.
You've had an exciting run. Want to hear all about it at some point. I know you'll be doing lots of writing about your trip over there, but, you know, what were you hunting? We'll get into this deeper later, but you told me once, but I honestly forgot.
Well, back in the early 1900s, a guy by the name of Lord Badminton or something mitten kind of thing, yeah, here in England imported the little muntjac and also the Chinese water deer. Now, both of them are pretty much from the area around kind of the southern part of Asia. Mm-hmm. And both those deer are very unique in many different ways. Of course, they're small. They'll weigh about, oh my gosh, 30-35 pounds. The little muntjac, he has got fangs. He's got his upper canines are like fangs, and then he's got little short antlers up on top, sitting on top of a real tall pedestal. And they hardly ever stand still. I mean, they're constantly moving, and they live in the kind of the underbrush, and kind of like, when you get right down to it, like cottontails, when you get, I guess it's about the closest thing. And then the Chinese water deer, they're the one of the few deer that do not have antlers. They just have elongated canines that are look like fangs, and they live more in the open grassy areas, and they like, of course, they're called Chinese water deer, so they like hanging around water. And the hunts for them are really interesting because we spent some time sitting in what we would call deer stands hunting the muntjac, and then just slowly walking, and then with the Chinese water deer, you just walk and you spot and stalk and then try to figure out how to get closer. And a great hunt. Of course, we were hunting with Stefan Bengston, and Stefan and his wife Sophia on a Scandinavian pro hunter. John Landgriff is really the guy I was here with. John is a dear friend from over around Midland, Odessa, and he and I every year try to do a hunt somewhere that's a little bit unique. And for both of us, I have to tell you, this truly was a very unique hunt in a lot of different ways. And we got lucky several different times. I'll tell the story here in about 2 or 3 weeks when I get back.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And, we have a little bit more time. Maybe we can do 2 segments, one on one and one on the other, and tell people a little bit more about it. But a lot of the unique thing about this was we were not that far out of London. And they're in Great Britain, and most people don't realize, or in England actually, and most people don't realize there's quite a few of those animals scattered around this area. I'm trying to remember the last time I was here, but I want to say it was right about the turn of the 2000s, you know, the 21st yeah. century kind of thing, and hunting roe deer. But we hunted some basically in the same kind of areas. A lot of times what you're doing, what's cool, there's so many old castles and things like that scattered around that part of England. And a lot of times you're walking the trails that, you know, years ago, and when they wore suits of armor and all those kind of things, and you're walking the same trails that they rode their horses on and walked those trails. So it's a very unique historic hunt in a lot of different ways. It's just a lot of fun. We'll talk a little bit more about it here for too very long.
You bet. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to segue this into the point where you get to thank all the people that make you being with us possible. Let me ask this question. Did that Hornady ammo work well for you over there?
It did. Interestingly, one of the questions that I asked of Stefan is that I said, what kind of ammo do you have over here that we can use? And he goes, well, he said, you know, he said, we're a great proponent of Hornady because it's accurate, deadly, dependable.
Yep, there you go.
I started laughing, and I said, well, at least we got the ammo, right? Now, we were using barred rifles, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on as well, too. But unfortunately, didn't have my stealth vision scope with me, but I did have stealth vision binoculars. And it really, really paid off.
You bet.
You're trying to pick out, you know, just almost like, it's almost like hunting rabbits in East Texas, some of that country that we were in. So absolutely fantastic. And unfortunately, you know, you can't take any pistols into to Great Britain. And so I didn't have my Taurus Raging Hunters with me, although I would have loved to have done so. But the other thing is, you know, we both have been very much involved for so many years with DSC, with conservation education and hunter advocacy oh gosh, I'll tell you what, I talked to a bunch of people while I was there that are very familiar with DSC. Of course, Stefan and Sophia every year, they for years, they've been very loyal in terms of supporting DSC and a lot of those Europeans there. It's amazing, particularly in that part of the country of England where we were, that really know about DSC and we've got a few members over as well too. So, you know, you can't beat the companies that I mentioned, and I can't wait to get back and start using some. And then, of course, just we had such a great time not too long ago at the DSC convention there in Atlanta, and now we're really looking forward to the what we call the DSC Foundation Gala in July there in Grapevine at the Gaylord Texan. So while we're talking about that, I want to invite everybody to that one. That's our Texas show, July 23rd, 24th, and 25th.
You bet. It'll be here before we know it, Larry.
Well, yes, sir, it will.
As they say, closer to home. I got away recently and went up to my old stomping grounds, Red River County, and actually hunted hogs within, I don't know, it's the crow flies, maybe 11 miles from where our old home place was up there north of Clarksville. The Friendswood Ranch, Mr. Bart Price. Bart bought that land years back. And like I say, when I was a boy, we didn't travel that far from home. 11, 12 miles was a pretty good jaunt back
then. Yes, I remember those days.
You remember those days? Yeah. But we did. I was in that part of the Red River County back when I was a boy,
right.
It was really unique to go back, and it's a high fence. He calls it an estate, as such places are called nowadays a lot. But it's a big chunk of Red River County high fenced, and he concentrates on whitetail deer hunts, but he had some high genetic deer in there with the native deer. And what's happened now is there's just, you won't see any of these, you know, where some of the deer that are quote, you know, pen raised or whatever, but you will see some really nice. We saw some bucks still carrying their antlers, some of them.
Right.
Some of them had, we saw some big deer that had to be bucks that from a distance that had dropped their antlers. But yeah, it was really neat to go back up there, and folks could check that out. Friendswoodranch.com is the website. Very popular deer hunting place though. And like anywhere in the eastern or most of Texas, wild hogs were plentiful. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. It was a fun day. I got up there real early, and we spent the day, did some stalking. I've got that CVA SR-80 scout rifle, and I had that thing, shorter barrel, 20-inch barrel, and it was ideal for that kind of hunting, Larry. But we'll talk about that some. What we do want to mention is now this March the 28th.
Yes, sir.
In Greenville, Texas, for folks listening on the radio outside of Northeast Texas, Greenville is about an hour, no more than an hour, east of Dallas on I-30. Well, right there within half a mile of I-30 is the Top Rail Cowboy Church. 18 acres outside. Gosh, we're going to have two bands. We're going to have Marshall Allen Bailey and Cowgirl Janie come up from Kansas to do a song or two. They're talented people, very talented
musicians. Yes, they are.
Yeah, so they'll be there. Two chuck wagons, the Dutch Kettle Society, they're going to be, you know, they've showed up the last couple of years
and,
with their Dutch kettles. And a lot of vendors, you know, a lot of people, you think of a booth, Larry, you know, you think of a marked off 20 by 20 on the floor, but a booth out here on this 18 acres is your pickup backed up with a sign up and, and your wares, you know.
which to me is so much better because
it is.
We've got a great crowd, but there's opportunity to spend a lot of time visiting with people. And, you know, what I like about it is it's just a hometown get together. It's like a big old family reunion. I love the fact that we've got campfire set up or, you know, a bunch of people cooking things. You can go over and try a little of this and you try a little of that. And of course, I think you got it set up too. And you're being very modest about this because actually it's the Luke Clayton Rendezvous when you get right down to it. And this is what, the sixth year that it's been done?
I think it is the seventh
now that you mention it. But I know y'all have caught a bunch of really outstanding, delicious blue catfish.
Yes.
And you got, oh gosh, you got some guys that really know what they're doing, getting ready to fry those too.
Yeah. Well, our friend, we're uptown this year. David Cotton, our friend, and over in Kaufman County, he's bringing his, I call it a commercial fish fryer, but it's one of these with a vat built in. We usually just cook them on a burner with some big cast iron pots, you know. But, yeah, he's bringing that. And our finely honed fish cooking team, you know, Phil Zimmerman, Billy Kilpatrick, and Bill Carey with Striper Express, they're going to be on hand to turn this out. We got to have this thing. I got to get my freezer empty for more meat. I've got a bunch of catfish in that freezer. Larry, we need about 3 hours to cover everything we want to talk about, but we don't have it and we're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us all these many years. 20 years you've been with us. We've been together here on Campfire Talk, and you know, I really appreciate it. Hope you have a good week and get back from England, and we'll reconvene around a campfire up here in Kaufman County maybe.
Absolutely. I'll call you as soon as I get back.
Well, friends, Mr. Larry Wysoon is going to tell you about the finest hunting optics that we have ever found.
Look, these are called Stealth Vision. They come from Crockett, Texas. Dr. John McCall developed them. They're 34-millimeter tubes as opposed to the narrower tubes, so more light transmission. They have a little green light that comes on. That scope is leveled because that's when you want to pull the trigger. They have an optional lighted reticle as well, too, and a whole lot of other products. And folks can learn more about them by going to stealthvision.com.